The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, it's not every day that I have world champions in the Hard Shoulder studio. It is both an honour and a treat to welcome Gary and Paul O'Donovan. You will have seen them on the Late Late Show, but more especially you'll see in their feats, Olympics, World Championships, European Championships, and they row like a divil. And they have a bit of crack, and they're from Skibbereen. And the reason they're here is they have got a handy number now. They're part of Repac's Team Green. And we will talk about their credentials as an environmental champion. But tell me this, you're from, you know, forgive me, but quite a backward sort of place in Skibbereen. I often wondered, like, if you guys were in Dublin or in Cork City, you would be seen as sex symbols. Has sex reached Skibbereen yet?
Well, not for us anyway, but I'd say it must be there in some form or another, because both myself and Gary are actually here and alive. So,
Manny, do you have partners?
I have a rowing partner there, Paul.
Right. So you're very coy about your private lives, are you?
Actually, that's what they call it, a private life.
No, which I would
have thought
one of the big advantages of being a world championship, it would be a great puller. You know what I mean?
Do you think?
Oh, it would. Despite your looks. I mean, like,
we should get Tinder on those things, should we?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay. I can see what this interview is going to be like. All right. Good. Let's focus, first of all, on your career and all that goes with it. We will come to the Repac situation. Is Skibbereen a hotbed for rowing if it's not a hotbed for sex?
Yeah, definitely. Rowing, anyway. Yeah, that's a fact. Especially since, like, around 1970, when the rowing club got set up for the first time. It's been really good. Everyone's like, you know, like it's a relatively new rowing club in Ireland, considering most of the clubs around the country have been established since like the late 1800s and early 1900s. So it's relatively new, but it's been like on a severe upward trajectory.
And if it wasn't there before, is it down to your dad, Teddy, is it? Is he got you into it?
Yeah, he would have been a huge help in our career. Like, he got us into it. He used to be involved in the rowing club when we were kids. Like, so we've been involved in rowing before we ever even sat in a boat. You know, we used to be around the rowing club messing and trying to break things and do some destruction around the place. And it is. He's been a huge influence in our career, and especially Dominic Casey. He's been the lead coach of the rowing club, and he was an active rower there himself when he was younger.
And how do you go from being enthusiastic, passionate, and have the club to being kind of world class? Because you would have thought, like with athletes, you go off and you get an American scholarship, and you did it all your career out to Z in Cork.
Well, I suppose yeah, pretty much. Well, I was in UCD for college. So I went up there in 2012. I graduated from school.
So there were facilities there to bring it to the next level?
Yeah, they did. So I'd been on the Ad Astra Academy there in UCD while I was studying my physiotherapy, and they were quite good then before the Olympics in terms of trying to balance the study and the training and all that. But
I do think, like, over the years, say in 2000, we had a rower. He was the spare man for the Olympic boat at the 2000 Olympics, and he went on to race in the Olympic final in 2004. And then we had another guy at the 2008 Olympics. So there's been a pathway there for us. You know, this stuff has happened in the past. We've got two guys in 2005 got a silver medal at the World Championships, and another fella got a bronze medal at the World Champs in 2006.
So they all were ahead of you.
So they've all been there ahead of us, and it's like a stepping stone. It's been a natural progression, you know, like Skibbereen won its first national.
And tell me this, do you have day jobs as well as the rowing?
Well, no, not to me. I'm back in college now, in University College Cork.
But you're 25 or 6.
It's very old, yeah. But
and you're still in college?
Yeah, so the Quercus
lads, he's a team there. The shovel now.
They said, you know, I know you're old and past it, Paul, but we still have some belief in you. So if you want to continue studying on, then you can.
What are you studying?
Medicine. I started
so
back
moved from physiotherapy. And when will that be done?
Oh, God, I don't know. No.
I know. Right.
Never, I would think.
And yourself, do you have a day job?
No, I wouldn't call it a job. Like, I'm a full-time rower, essentially. And I try and do other things around it, like doing some work experience in the area of marketing. I graduated from marketing in Cork Institute of Technology.
So how did this Repac thing come about?
Yeah, well, so I suppose, you know, we had always been kind of environmentally conscious all our lives. And when we're out there on the rivers and lakes doing our rowing in all this beautiful natural scenery, and every so often then you'd see plastic bottles and plastic bags and these kind of things floating around. You'd be like, Jesus, that's just after ruining my training spin now, like, and it would have you on a real downer. And so when Repack came to us and said, look, we're trying to boost the recycling levels in Ireland over the next couple of years, I think we're at 33% at the minute, and by 2030 we want to get up to 55% recycled in Ireland.
So what is Repack Team Green? Do they want people to join?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, so basically anyone in
you're
Ireland...
You're wearing the logo today. Yeah, it's a lovely green
lovely
outfit.
Jersey, yeah.
Yeah.
So
what is Team Green?
So essentially they've put together a group of brand ambassadors. There's ourselves, there's like Roz Purcell, Paul McGrath, Bobby Kerr and Anna Geary. And so like we've all been tasked with like trying to help promote this campaign and trying to encourage people to recycle and not just recycle but do recycling right and well as well. So it's not just putting plastics
into
the bin. But
nobody, is it only celebrities can join Team Green?
Everyone and anyone can join it. And the more people, the better.
Because
so
I see they have 3,100 members, but it's shops, hotels, supermarkets. Can householders join?
Absolutely, of course. Paul. So there's so UCC, say now, my university, they've got a big green recycling machine in the canteens there, so students can come along and put their plastic bottles and bits in there. But people at home, they can have their green recycling bin as they always do. And as long as they start putting the dry clean...
I find it very confusing, Gary. You know, the brown bin, the black bin, the green bin. I just leave it to Deirdre. It's very complex, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's quite... Actually, yeah.
And you know what she's doing at the moment? Every night I go home, she has these massive big 2-litre Diet Coke bottles. She's a fifth-class teacher. Hmm. She gets this stick and every bit of sweet wrapper and plastic, she's pushing it down into the bottles to make these bricks. It's the queerest thing I've ever seen.
And it can be, but that's what we're trying to do. Encourage people to do the right recycling as well, so you're putting the right things into the right bins.
So it's the hard plastics.
It's actually quite simple if people want to check it out. If you go on to www.repack.ie/teamgreen, there's a world of information there, and it really simplifies it down for everyone to like check it out and make sure they're doing the right recycling.
But it's actually really quite simple once you break it down to the basics, you know. And I know you're saying it's complicated.
Well, for me, you know.
Well, yeah. I suppose that wouldn't be hard either to confuse the likes of yourself. But no, it's all kind of laid out there on the website, and you can put up a label then on the bins to make sure that you're putting in the right stuff. So just the hard, clean, dry, recycled plastics, you know, the soft plastics that you get your bags of leaf in at the supermarket and this type of thing are not recyclable at the minute, unfortunately, but I suppose that's a different topic. So really putting the hard plastics in there and just talking about it then with your friends and family at home to make sure that all of them are aware of it and with your colleagues at work then and just get the message across and you know, everyone can then play their part.
A lot of people in here, especially, you know, for their coffee cups and that, they've done away with single-use plastics, which I suppose is the next step beyond recycling.
Keep just cups
to try, exactly, yeah. Just to try and use single-use, to do away with single-use plastics.
It is no harm. But I think sometimes it's difficult to avoid that at the minute. So if you're out and about doing a hike or a trek or a trail or you know, doing something in nature that you'll just... bring your bottle with you back to somewhere where you can actually recycle it rather than throwing it in the bush or in just a regular rubbish trash can that you actually find a recyclable bin for it.
All right. I'm speaking to Gary and Paul O'Donovan, both world-class rowers. They've won everything there is to win. But let's focus on Tokyo 2020.
Yeah.
So it's next year.
Well, we haven't
year.
Won everything there is to win. Like,
that's right, you haven't won the gold medal.
Olympic gold.
So how are we fixed?
Well, it's always been our goal. Like ever since we started rowing, we've had this plan to win an Olympic gold medal. And, you know, we came pretty close in Rio and we were really pleased with the result and everything. But, like, Tokyo is only a year away now. We have to, I suppose, the first task for us now this year is to qualify the boat. So the Olympic qualifiers are at this year's World Championships at the end of August.
Where are they?
They're in Linz in Austria.
Okay.
And we have to finish in the top seven there to qualify the boat for the Olympics. And
so now this is May. When would you be in peak fitness? Like, would you be starting into it now?
It's pretty much an ongoing process. Like, we're just constantly training, trying to get fitter all the time.
But you build it up, I assume.
Yeah, and we'll be building it up. Like, and especially now with the summer months and the warmer weather, and Paul will be finished his exam soon. We'll basically just be full-time.
And would you train on your own? Just tell us about the training.
Yeah, of
session.
Course. Yeah, so we have we each have our own single skull. So like, if Paul doesn't turn up someday because of exams or
so
whatever,
so you can work away independently.
We can work on our own, and we can go into the gym on the rowing machines. And Yeah, it's really easy to do that. And once we can keep our fitness levels high, we can train away individually for a lot of the year. And then we come together in for the summer and put the double, get the double going fast and hopefully fast enough
to win. And would you ever get injuries? Like, I have a bad back now. Would you, you know, when you're bending down and you're rowing and pulling, would you hurt your back?
I think if you're not doing it properly, you could be open to some injuries and bits like that. But I think our dad gave us a good technique from day one, so we've never really picked up anything too serious.
It's not a sport that's synonymous with injuries.
Not hugely, especially
because it's not an impact sport. Yes. So like, and even like running, say there's impact with the foot on the ground. Rowing is actually quite soft on the body. It's physically demanding in terms of energy expenditure and so on. There's no impact, so the risk of injury isn't quite as severe.
And I think because you're using your legs, your arms and your back and all your core muscles as well, that you're really strengthening them. So it's nearly, if you're doing it right, you can use it for injury prevention. Nearly, it's a fantastic sport.
Okay. Well, you could do it.
Get on the rowing machine in the gym. We'll give you a lesson there someday.
I'm nearly 60.
We'll get you back into shape.
But you guys, Paul, you're 25, I understand, and Gary, you're 26, or will be this year. My question is this. What age would you hit, Gary, your peak in this business? Leaving aside yourselves, but as a kind of industry norm.
Yeah, it's tended to say that people hit their peak around 30, 28 to 30, and then you can kind of plateau in for the next 10 years and maintain that level.
You could keep going till your 40?
To your 40, yeah. Like, there's rowers out there that are at the Olympics and winning medals at like 41, 42, 43.
God, you'd be the longest serving student in Paul in UCC's history. That right. But you are getting into prime territory now. So the world in Austria and Tokyo next year are really almost the summit of your entire career, that you're going at this big time?
I suppose, Paul? Well, you could frame it like that, all right, if you wanted. But
I'm trying to motivate you here, you know what I mean?
Actually, we'd be motivated there all the time anyway. Actually, I mean, realistically, at the end of the day for us, it's just another race, you know? And the media, really, people like you were blowing it out of all proportion there a lot of the time and trying to frighten us and telling us we should be nervous and the pinnacle and all this, but sure, we're just doing it for enjoyment all our lives.
And is that actually an issue as you prepare for, you know, a moment like Tokyo? So you get to the final, and this won't come around for another 4 years, and God knows where. Like, how do you cope with the kind of anxiety and nerves? Is it breathing or what?
Breathing helps. Like, if we stopped breathing, we'd be in trouble that day. But it's like, it's about understanding it, you know, and understanding, like, yeah, it is there and it is a thing. But, you know, too much nerves and too much excitement and too much can be detrimental. Like, it could have an opposite effect.
Are you taught techniques to deal with nerves?
We've not been, but I think
Matt Cooper and myself, and before the red light goes on, I just say to Matt, don't feck this up, and he laughs, you know what I mean?
Like,
would you say that now to Paul? Now,
often,
don't feck this up.
Often. He'd be liable to do anything like.
And the other question I wanted to ask is, at some point with a sporting career, it will come to an end. So life after rowing, and I know you can be coaching and you can be in the club and you can do all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd say now you two would make great radio presenters. Do you know what I mean? For Skibbereen FM. or even lower, go to News Talk. I mean, the point.
Bottom of the pile there.
Do you have a growl for anything? Like, you've done a lot of media work on that. Gary?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, well, I do have a degree in marketing, and like, I enjoy networking and meeting people and talking in business. Like, I enjoy business and like understanding business environments and stuff. And I've done some work experience in Dublin with a few different companies.
So you go into the corporate sector.
I enjoy that. I do. Yeah. I really enjoy it. So I'm always open. Like, I'm not closing off any doors, really. Like, if there was any opportunity to come up, I'd consider it, I think.
Okay.
In any industry. So, I'd nearly go into
other than being a perpetual student, Paul, anything in mind?
Hopefully be a doctor of some sort.
Lovely.
Or another. Yeah, finally put one of my degrees to the use if I... Yes. If I finish it out.
All right, we'll wrap up with just giving a message out, which is that this week the focus is on www.repack.ie/teamgreen. And they want everyone to make a pledge to recycle more than one plastic item a week. and the lads. Are you going to different centres around, or what way is it? Is it a busy time for you with this, or just media stuff, is it?
At the minute, it's a bit of media stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Tomorrow morning, we're going off then with the rest of the ambassadors down to the recycling centre and a few different places.
Practical examples of how Repack operates.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I get some pictures there.
We're kind of actively doing it.
Recycled
anyway.
Bales of plastic and the like.
Can I, as well as being a sex symbol, the nation is very, very proud of all your achievements, and we really will be rooting for you, both in August at the World Championships and the Olympic Games, and we're extremely grateful to you to come in and interest in the Hard Shoulder, and we will watch your progress with great interest. Thank you again, and every continued success.
Thanks very much, Ivan.
Thanks, Ivan.